And I'm going to talk about empowering adolescents in Bangladesh through life skills. The Adolescents Reproductive Health Behavior Change Communication Program was in action for the last few years, and we learned a lot through this project. We shared as and when possible so that we can do a little bit more in this respect and empower adolescents to be more responsive and responsible. I have no relationship to disclose. The objective of the program was to sensitize and provide life skills to adolescents and predispose them to delay sexual rebirth, marriage, and pregnancy, and create an enabling environment for them to act on knowledge, motivation, and skills gained through the program. Here I want to mention that this creating an enabling environment was considered to be very, very important, because there could be more knowledge, more motivation, and skills, but so what? People couldn't talk about the issue of adolescent reproductive health. The program was developed by Bangladesh Center for Communication Programs with support from an in-country ARH, Adolescent Reproductive Health Working Group, and the government of Bangladesh, with technical assistance from Health Communication Partnership based at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health Center for Communication Programs. And the funding for this program was from USAID and UNICEF in the country. I would like to mention here about the working group. The working group represents the stakeholders from the development partners, stakeholders from NGOs, stakeholders from partner private organizations, as well as stakeholders from the government of Bangladesh. So the people came together and felt that they should be together for developing and implementing this program. So we have really a team approach from the very beginning, and we are continuing that also currently. A little bit more about ARH working group. Three of the organizations are representing in this room, I think. The ICDDRB, Population Council, and the NGO Service Delivery Program was represented in the ARH working group. So they can also respond to some of the queries if it comes up at the end. The strategic approach that BCCP undertook was one of the approach was the formation of the ARH working group, and that served as the advisory panel for the group. And then understanding the needs and perceptions of the young people, also the community and the society at large, because whatever people are thinking, not necessarily, policymakers are thinking not necessarily as of the community or the society or the young people. So we had to undertake this one. And then developing communication strategy following a participatory process and implementing a branding campaign. And then identifying accurate, relevant, and consistent information on reproductive health issues and conducting life skills sessions. So this approach was taken, and some of the lessons learned is that we had to be very cautious and slow but steady also, in terms of, at least in terms of understanding the needs and perceptions of the youth community and the society. The materials and the messages we produced toolkit which is called Know Yourself. In Bangla, we call it Nijeke Jano. And through research, we identified few thousand frequently asked questions and categorized it into four different categories. And the we developed four booklets on those categories. puberty, new feeling, new passion, stress to life, meaning HIV, AIDS, and then preparing for the marriage. These four category was developed, and following that, we developed four booklets. We also produced four videos aligned with the four booklets, which was accompanied with facilitator's guide, so that those who will be using these booklets, they should be consistent in terms of facilitating also, so that they can start with similar type of quiz and similar type of questions at the very beginning, so that the discussion can start very smartly. So all these booklets and the video and the video guides are in the toolkit. Entertainment education also played significantly in the program, and we developed a comic book series of 12 books, 12 comic books, and then we produced and aired 13-episode situational comedy on Bangladesh Television, which is the state-owned television. And then we produced 39-episode radio program that also was broadcast at the Bangladesh-owned Radio Bangladesh. And we, in all these materials and the programs, we tried to incorporate the life skills. What are those? I'll be explaining in any minute. Well, here are some of the life school sessions, the joint sessions, and also separate session for the boys and girls, depending on the sensitivity and the where we are doing it, in a school or in a community household or wherever. And these are the major elements of life skills. Decision making, the process of decision making and problem solving, and then critical thinking and creative thinking, communication as a whole and communication with interpersonal focus, then self-awareness and empathy, coping with stress and emotion. So these are the issues, especially with coping with stress and emotion is found to be very, very critical, because adolescents, sometimes they are challenged, sometimes they are thrilled, sometimes they are afraid of many things. So this issue got attention always. And we had life school sessions in schools, in communities, in other social settings. But depending on the situation and where we are doing it, the sessions varied from 2 days to 4 days. So in schools, actually, we learned a lot because the school committee and the community leaders, not always they were appreciative of it at the very beginning. But after they knew the topic, after they have gone through it, they became very supportive. And that's also a very good lessons learned for us, that we cannot think of, even if it is a very good program, well designed, but it will not be acceptable everywhere in all the community. So we need to deal with the community depending on the situation and depending on where the community is located. So life school sessions actually produced a lot of success stories, and I will be sharing one success story with you, where a 16-year-old girl, how she changed her life, how they changed the behavior of her parents, how they influenced the community, and how she is bringing her dream into action, that I will be sharing that with you. It's a 6-7 minute video clip. It's a big video, and I clipped it for you. That's the one, yeah. Did that happen? Double click left. Yeah.
than 25% of the population in Bangladesh is between the ages of 10 and 19. Though the trend is changing, the median age at marriage for women in Bangladesh is still 16 years. This is the story of one young woman in Bangladesh. Moni is 15 years old. She is a bright student of Osmanpur Girls High School and has goals and ambitions for her future.
আমি আমার পড়াশোনা চালিয়ে যেতে চাই এবং বড় হয়ে একজন টিচার হতে চাই, যাতে করে আমার এলাকার কোনো ছেলে মেয়ে অশিক্ষিত না থাকে। আমি সেই চেষ্টাই করতে চাই।
But just 2 years ago, Moni came close to not being able to realize her dreams. Her parents had arranged for her to marry, a practice which is common in Moni's village.
যখন আমার বাবা মা আমার বিয়ে ঠিক করেছিল তখন আমি ক্লাস 8-এ পড়ি। তখন আমার বয়স 13। আর একদিন শুনতে পারলাম আমাদের পাশের গ্রামের একটি ছেলের সঙ্গে আমার বিয়ে ঠিক করা হয়েছে, ওর বয়স 25।
আমাদের গ্রামে 12-13 বছর থেকে মেয়ে দেখ দিয়া দেয়। তার মাঝে আশেপাশের লোকেরা বলে যে আপনার মেয়ে উপযুক্ত হয়েছে, এরকম বিয়ে দিতে হবে। ঘটকের দ্বারাই ওনার বলে যে আমরা বিয়ে দিব। কয় যে মেয়ে রাখা কী হবে, আমরা গরিব মানুষ, বিয়ে দিলে ভালো হবে।
প্রথমে বিয়ের কথাটা শুনে আমার একদম ভালো লাগেনি। কিভাবে যে বিয়েটা ঠেকানো যায় সেই চিন্তায় সারা রাত আমি ঘুমোতে পারিনি।
As Moni struggled with her problem, she remembered hearing about the Adolescent Reproductive Health or ARH program at her school.
আমি যখন ক্লাস 8-এ পড়ি আমার বান্ধবী ওর নাম মাহফুজা, ওর কাছ থেকে জানতে পারলাম যে আমাদের এলাকায় নিজেকে জানো নামে একটি প্রোগ্রাম এসেছে। এই প্রোগ্রামে আমাদের মতো ছেলে মেয়েদের অনেক জানার বিষয় আছে। কথাটা শুনে আমার খুব ভালো লাগলো। আমি মনে করলাম, ইস, আমি যদি এই প্রোগ্রামে যেতে পারতাম তো অনেক কিছু জানতে পারতাম।
Through a partnership with the Bangladesh Center for Communication Programs, BCCP, the ARH initiative began with life skills training workshops for youth.
অবশ্যই জানি, কারণ এই যে লাইফ স্কিল প্রোগ্রাম, এটা কিন্তু আমার স্কুলেই, এই গোড়াঘাট থানার আমাদের আমার স্কুলেই এটা অনুষ্ঠিত হয়। আমি এর জন্য দুটো রুম ছেড়ে দিয়েছিলাম। তো আমার কৌতূহল জাগলো যে জিনিসটা কী কার উপরে হচ্ছে। আমি গিয়ে ট্রেনিং চলাকালীন সময়ে ছাত্রছাত্রীদের পাশাপাশি বসে আমি কিন্তু এটাকে ওয়াচ করেছি। তারপরে শোনার পরে আমাকে দুই দিন তিন দিনের পরে আমাকে অত্যন্ত আমি রিয়েলাইজ করলাম যে জিনিসটা কিন্তু অত্যন্ত বাস্তবসম্মত।
চার দিনের কর্মশালায় আমরা অনেক কিছু শিখলাম, যেমন কিশোর কিশোরীদের শারীরিক পরিবর্তন, মানসিক পরিবর্তন, বিয়ে, ভবিষ্যৎ পরিকল্পনা, HIV/AIDS, মা ও শিশু স্বাস্থ্য, এরকম অনেক কিছু।
The ARH program included adolescent-friendly corners, where Moni could access the Life Skills Building Participatory Toolkit, as well as confidential reproductive health information and services. The ARH program has evolved to include groundbreaking radio and TV programs.
ওখানে আমরা জীবন দক্ষতা সম্পর্কে জানলাম, একে অন্যের সাথে ভালো আচরণ, নিজের মতামত প্রকাশ করা, কোনো সিদ্ধান্ত নেবার আগে সূক্ষ্মভাবে চিন্তা করে কাজ করা।
Empowered with knowledge and skills from the training, Moni decided it was time to speak with her parents.
সাহস করে কথাটা বলেই ফেললাম যে আমি এখন বিয়ে করতে চাই না। তারা তো আমার কথা শুনে অবাক, তারা আমাকে বিয়ে করার জন্য চেষ্টা করলেন। তখন আমি তাদেরকে ওয়ার্কশপে জানানো কথাগুলো বললাম। অল্প বয়সে বিয়ে হলে আমার শারীরিক ক্ষতি হবে, আমার ভবিষ্যৎ পরিকল্পনা নষ্ট হবে, আমার এলাকায় যে মেয়েদের বিয়ে হয়েছে অল্প বয়সে তাদের পড়াশোনা স্কুলে যাওয়া বন্ধ হয়েছে, এটাও তাদেরকে জানিয়ে দিলাম। আমি বড় হয়ে নিজে প্রতিষ্ঠিত হয়ে বিয়ে করতে চাই, এই কথাটা তাদেরকে আমি বললাম। সেদিন রাতে সেদিন তারা আমার সঙ্গে কথা বললেন না। আমি বুঝতে পারলাম না তারা আমার কথা রাখবে কি না।
ARH facilitators were also meeting with parents and community leaders in the village, and Moni encouraged her mother to attend.
আমি বিচিপি ট্রেনিংয়ে ওখানে গেছিলাম, যে আমি ওখানে সভা শুনলাম। সেখানে অনেক আলোচনা হইল যে অল্প বয়সে মেয়েকে বিয়ে দিলে কী হবে, 20-25 বছরে বিয়ে দেওয়া নিষেধ, তার মধ্যে ফির বাচ্চা কাচ্চা হইলে পান্তার শরীর ভাঙ্গা যাবে, আর লেখাপড়া শিখলে পান্তার স্বামী দাম দিবে, আর শরীরে ভালো থাকবে না। ওগুলো আমি শুকিয়ে শুনে আসে, আমি সেগুলো আমার স্বামীকে বুঝালাম যে অল্প বয়সে আর মেয়ে বিয়ে দেওয়া চলবে না, এরকম এরকম হয়।
আমার মাকে বললাম, মা তুমি ওই অনুষ্ঠানে যোগ দাও। মা আমার অনুরোধ কথা রাখলেন, তিনি অনুষ্ঠানে গেলেন এবং সন্ধ্যাবেলায় ফিরে এসে মা এবং বাবা কি যেন আলোচনা করতে লাগলেন। আমি তো ভয়ে শেষ। এবার দেখি তারা আমার সঙ্গে কথা বলতে যাচ্ছে, আমি আবার তাদেরকে আমার ভবিষ্যৎ পরিকল্পনার কথা বললাম, তারা এবার আমার কথা রাখলেন।
ইয়া অসুখ হয় খিচাখিচি এগুলা শুনলাম, হয় বাচ্চা মরবি নাই মেয়ে মরবে এরকম শুনলাম, সেখানে আর আমি মেয়েকে এখন বিয়ে দিব না, এতে আমি রাজি নই। ওনার আব্বা বললো যে আচ্ছা হোক লেখাপড়া শিখে মনে যে যে লেখটা আমাদের সন্তান হয়ে থাকে তবু আমার সম্পদ। তো তখন আমি বললাম যে না আমি একটু হেল্প আউট করব।
আমি মনে করি প্রতিটা মেয়েদের পড়ালেখাটা জরুরি, এতে তাদের আত্মসম্মান বাড়ে, নিজের দায়িত্ব নিজে নিতে পারে, অন্যের উপর নির্ভর করতে হয় না।
আমি বুঝলাম, আশেপাশে শিখলাম যে শিক্ষিত হলে তার কি জ্ঞান বুদ্ধি হয়, তার কি দাম দেয়, স্বামীও কিছু অভিজ্ঞতা জানা আছে, এই কারণে আমি দিলাম না। মনিকে নিয়ে আমার আশা ছিল যে আমার মেয়ে লেখাপড়া শিখলে একটু ইয়া হবে।
That was Mori's story, and you have noticed that we have not only provided life skills to the adolescents, in so many words we have provided life skills to the community and the parents. And usually in Bangladesh and in the region, parents don't talk about some issues with their adolescents or with their boys and girls. They refer it to somebody else, that for ministerial issues, if a daughter comes to a mother and asks her about it, they said, go to your auntie or go to your grandma, something like that. And usually there are other issues like masturbation and other things also. So it was important lessons learned for us that try to create an enabling environment so that people talk about it, and especially the parents also talk about it, so that the adolescents will get the real or appropriate information at the appropriate time. They don't have to waste time to go to somebody else and get answer from them. And we found out that initially the response was not that good, not that encouraging, but ultimately when we did it, we were very encouraged that parents and other stakeholders and community people, they are coming up. Here we try to give you some research findings, the inline findings with the exposed and non-exposed adolescents in terms of problem solving, self-esteem, and negative consequences of early sex and negative consequences of early marriage. So we see a change, and it's an encouragement. And similarly, with critical thinking, this is very difficult to measure, you know, but even then we see some sort of change. And when you talk about adolescents like Moni, we really feel good, very good, that we could initiate some change among the group. So with this, I would like to conclude that the project significantly increased the adolescent's knowledge, the interpersonal communication, and life skills, which will help them to realize their dreams and make them more responsive to themselves and to their needs. So one other result of this program is that along with other partners, the government themselves, they are really coming forward in a bigger way, because they have recently they have developed this strategy and adopted this strategy for implementing it nationwide. And the package that was developed by the group, they have taken it and copied millions of copies and distributing it through their own channels. So we are really having a program in partnership, and the partnership is giving the result. With this, I thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Shahjahan. I think we heard four excellent presentations, and now I invite the audience to pose questions. If you could please identify the person to whom you are posing the question, and if you can please talk loud and when you ask the questions, it can be recorded. Thank you.
Can I ask two questions?
Sure.
The first question for Dr. Rahman, this excellent study in ARI, particularly looking at the social and other factors. What I perceive from the logistic integration is that there might be an interaction between poverty index or poverty categorization with education of the mother. In role model, have you looked at interaction time at all, or in future you want to consider that?
That's a very good point. We have not actually looked at the interaction, and I think there is a reasonable possibility that there will be education may in fact be more important for poorer mothers than for richer mothers. So that's a good point. We should certainly explore that.
My second question actually is to Dr. Shahjahan and Dr. Larson, both of you. These are, of course, excellent program in terms of behavior change. But my particular question is, all these health promotion or communication activities, what kind of behavioral change theory you want to develop promotional activities? Because I will explain why I'm interested in that. Because last 2006, I examined programs in Bangladesh that deals with promotion or education, and virtually none of them is from behavioral changes. So I can, or anybody can challenge why you are predicting that the change happened because of your intervention rather than something else. So what type of theories are theory grounded?
Nobody wants to go first here. My wife's a psychologist, and she asked me that question often. You do need to base these strategies on theory. It's the only way you can know whether you can confirm what you're doing is working or it's not. There is not just one theory. Social learning theory is obvious. That what we're interested in here is that the lady next door whose child has diarrhea, okay, is maybe impacted, eventually will be impacted by the social pressures of being a good mother. Being a good mother in Bangladesh means going out and buying ORS right now. There's absolutely no question about it. That's what we're attempting to attain with the same sort of strategy. That's what we'll be doing with our next volley of promotion. So social learning theory is very important. Innovation, okay, and building on innovation and looking for innovators within communities and working with those innovators is another theory that we use and we want to continue to promote. So that those are the people that are looked to, okay, for behaviors and acceptable behaviors or appropriate behaviors, is maybe a better word to put to it. So I think those are the two fundamental theories that we based our promotion on. Yes.
Thank you. I think the lady at the back.
Question for Dr. Larson. In regards to awareness building and for the same category,
well, we
all, we engaged a professional advertising firm to do this, people with a lot more expertise than a doctor like me has. And we thought that was really important to do, is to get some real professionals in there. The other thing we did is that we carried out quite a bit of formative research, and we created then a team, a communication team. So we had the advertisers, we had the producers of the product were on that team, the scientists were on that team, and together they met over a period of probably almost a year in terms of working out specific messages, going back out to providers or caretakers and testing those messages before we came up with the final decisions about what to promote. We, in the beginning, as I said to you, I think the key thing was to, also I should mention to you, we wanted to target lower income. So the messages were set in terms of the language and the complexity towards people with not with no education, but with low education and low income. And all the ads are in rural settings, or semi-urban settings. So we really did, again, want to push, because we know that that's the key population to get to.
Yeah, I was just curious, because there was a TV ad, I was wondering how.
Oh,
one
of the first things you have to do is go out and ask people, where do you get your information? And in Bangladesh, even among the poorest of the poor, 60% of them were saying, well, I get it from TV. And so it was clear to us that if we were going to get to those people, we weren't going to do it through the newspaper. It was almost zero with newspapers. It was about 15 to 20% with radio alone. Okay, another was providers and word of mouth, but the big one was national TV. And I didn't mention it to you, but national TV is free. Okay, it doesn't require cable TV, any kind of cable network, and it is the dominant station to be observed by middle and low. I shouldn't say it really isn't much of a middle income population, but low income population is the population.
Just to clarify, it's not that people never want to eat that.
That's right. If you go for a stroll in a village in the evening, you will find the people huddled around wherever the TV happens to be. That's right. And you can still see black and white TV.
No, Charles, this is the reason you have not seen the impact in the rural area. TV is not available in the rural area. So that is the reason. It's one slum which has a large TV, so you see that large TV there.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually have a question when you said that it's clear that mothers are always using ORS for children and family. Is there a logistic or scientific reason why you can't mix this in with the ORS? Because that would be the obvious answer to the thing is that you don't. They have a product that they are used to using, they know how to use it. There must be.
I'm glad you asked that question, because what you need to understand is that what drives zinc is its preventive impact, not its curative. It is curative, and if all you wanted to do was cure, then you would combine it with ORS, no question. Although there would be some question about dose, because there's the amount of ORS that a child receives can vary quite a lot by illness.
Right.
But the key thing here is that it prevents future death. It can cut mortality by 50% in the next 3 months. It can reduce the likelihood of repeat infections by 15 to 30%. So huge impact on prevention. And you only get that if you take it for the 10 days. And nobody's going to take ORS for 10 days. It just won't do it. So we have to keep them separate for that.
There's a question from Dr. Fitch. And well, then, yeah, please.
I was really interested in the Nepal vaccination. The 6 million children that die needlessly every year, they need just some practical, low-cost, feasible kinds of things. And it sounds like you did it there. It was done in Nepal. Could you tell us a little bit about the ministry and all that?
Well, I'm certainly not an authority on the subject, but what I will say is that it's difficult to talk about the ministry in Nepal because there have been so many changes in government, especially over the decade of time that we're talking about. But I think a really important issue is the human rights concern. So So there were several human rights groups working in Nepal that promoted the concept of vaccination as a child right. That, and everyone could agree on that. So during the insurgency, both sides could agree on that and would let vaccines pass straight through. I also think that you can't downplay the cost implications, because when you're flying vaccines in to certain areas, you need the backup of the CDC and UNICEF and AusAid and USAID, who are all working on this issue. But so I think it's the combination of the political will to move forward. Now, the Ministry of Health has made this a huge priority, and they are absolutely to be lauded for that. But you know, the Ministry of Health is kind of a nebulous issue. But I think it's the combination of the political will backed up by the logistic and financial support that made this happen. Hopefully we can keep it going.
Gentleman in the second row.
One for Dr. Larson. First is, any measure on compliance?
Yes, we do. It's a huge challenge. What we do, these are cross-sectional surveys, so what we ask them is how many tablets did you buy, on the assumption that that's a proxy for how many they gave their child. And what we're finding is two extremes. So there's some parents, there's about 40% that are buying in 10 days, and there are about 40% that are only buying 3 days or 4 days. And clearly, when we went, and we're now doing a study with drug vendors to look at what's driving that, and it's both the caretaker saying, I only want or I can only afford 3 or 4 days, or it's the vendor, him or herself, using himself, saying that person can't afford it, or this is, we still haven't got the preventive message out, so they're only interested in cure. And just like with antibiotics, they only give enough to cover the period where the child is sick, and then that's it.
The lady at the, oh, sorry, yeah, the lady in the second row.
I have a question for Dr. Richmond also about the case of publication. So if it is being promoted as a preventative measure, how, why is it being promoted when a child is sick?
Okay, there are different strategies, and another is to just supplement on a daily basis. And those have all been, there are many efficacious randomized trials, but there are no effectiveness randomized trials. Very hard to get people to do something on a daily basis. It's also quite expensive. You know, 10 days is hard enough, unless the government were to take it on. And I can tell you, Bangladesh Ministry of Health and Family Welfare is really strapped for funds, and also has been introducing a number of new programs that it's really up to here in terms of its limit to do that. Those are reasons why we use that private sector initiative, and it's a reason, I'm not saying we shouldn't try supplementation or fortification or dietary diversification. All of those are great strategies, but in the short run, I don't think anybody has the answers in terms of how to get that out and scale it up over the next year or two, whereas I think the treatment, and we're showing that, is working, and we know if we can scale it up and change those behaviors, it's going to have, as I showed you, a huge impact on health outcomes.
Dr. Khan, he had been waiting patiently.
Dr. Larson already answered my question. I was just going to answer Dr. Rahman's question, but he answered it, but why zinc shouldn't be given during episodes of medical.
Thank you.
Oh, I was just going to follow up with a similar question. You mentioned that syrups are really very prevalent, syrups of zinc sulfate. So if they're widely used, why was this needed?
Half the cost.
Oh, okay.
Okay, distribution issues. I should say we monitor the market share of baby zinc on zinc treatment. It's only about 50%. The other 50% are buying syrups, or there are some other dispersible tablets that are now out on the market. So it isn't just baby zinc.
Yes, please.
One question for Mr. Shahjahan. This presentation of yours is really, really interesting. Now, what is next? I mean, you did this. You have generated some social change at certain scales. We have witnessed. What comes after this? And how can you sustain that?
Okay, thank you. As I mentioned, that the government has undertaken this, and they have developed a strategy, and dozens of NGOs have their own program in the community level. they are maintaining the adolescent friendly corner. They are reproducing the material from their own sources. So even if the program is not there, but the issue is there and issue is being addressed. It's happening. But I would like to go back to the earlier point, and then when you are reviewing 50 plus projects, you could not find out the link. One of the reasons that to me is that you couldn't find out the link because, as we all know, the communication as an issue should be seen holistically. And if it is segregated part in parts, then who will be dealing with that segregated part? He or she may not have the link with the theory or whatever interventions you are doing to address what. And I'm saying it based on my experience working extensively in health communication for last 20 plus years. And initially there was a time when people were talking about theories, people were want to see the link, and an organization of experience, they tried to find it out. But nowadays, because of many other reasons, some may be known to you also, that people are going to a specific organization for a specific thing, and they have been there, producing a poster, producing a leaflet, and even a television ad. They don't have the clue that how a communication intervention can bring us results. So I think that issue should be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Interest of time, last question, please.
Can I supplement this thing or not? Regarding this India initiative, it will not solve the problem. Because, you know, it'll just say, make a friendly statement, you know, how many NGOs can provide these services? Maybe 100, 200. Bulk of services to be provided by the government. And some point of time, we have to introduce this reproductive health curriculum. We tried for the last 3 years. These 2 years, we have taken government, and 1 year with the recent political disturbance. Nothing happened. Hope that, you know, at the beginning of the next year, when the government will come, the discussion will be there, that it should be included in the regular curriculum. My son should not study technical health. How many types of rice, how many types of food should be in the country, then without knowing that where to go, and the common illness in the country, and how to be, how to tackle it. And definitely, not just discussion with the other, tell them in the time back, definitely the NGOs are keeping this momentum.
Thank you for that comment. I think the time is up and we need to move on. But I want to thank the speakers, Dr. Bradley, Dr. Rahman, Dr. Larson, and Dr. Shahjahan for a wonderful, wonderful presentation and the great discussion which followed it. I want to give them a round of applause for this, for enlightening us with the studies from different corners of the world, I should say. And I also want to remind you again that there is a program which is coming up, 20 years of Safe Motherhood Initiative in Africa, Back to the Beginning. It's on Wednesday, October 29th. It's in the meeting room 25B, and it is at 12:30 p.m. Please attend, and I thank you all for staying back till 4 o'clock to attend this particular session. I'm sure that the speakers will be here for a few more minutes, and you can certainly dialogue with them at that time. Thanks all.
in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
in touch, and we have business meeting tomorrow.